Okay, good to call everyone. We are in the final week of the year for Rosh Hashanah. We're going to continue in Ahavas Chesed. We try to connect something to Rosh Hashanah a little bit so we can continue staying in the Sefer. So he is now, we're in the Psicha, in the introduction, where he's going through the Chumash, as we know, finding in each parsha acts of chesed, different types of chesed that the Avos did, and how we can apply it, and how important it is. That's his introduction. So now we are up to Parshas Vayeshev, I believe. I'm not mistaken. No, we're in Miketz, Parshas Miketz. Parshas Miketz, the Miketz I'm reading now, Bachamishi, in the fifth Aliyah, Pasuk, the Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk, Hey, Vayitzav Yosef, Latet Lehim Tzeda Lederech, he gave, Yosef commanded his worker, or was it his son, gave to put food inside the sacks of the brothers. They also put the Yosef, it's not such a nice thing, but he gave them Tzeda Lederech. I think that's this. But he gave them Tzeda Lederech, food for the way. Okay? And that is something, says the Chafetz Chaim, he came wrote, we lasos la'orthim. Make a little package of food for them for traveling. Mrs. Setzer is notorious for that. Notorious. Every time I go, I'm overweight on the way home from I have more different things, and she knows what I like. So she, I mean, the amount of food, and if I say no, I can't. I just ate. That's not an answer. I'm going to get hungry. Something's going to happen. Maybe the flight will get delayed. You need food. It's a huge chesed. It's a huge, huge chesed. For those people who do a lot of traveling, it's a huge chesed. Bechein by Vayigash, Parsha Shvi, Shemedaber Minyan Yosef L'Anshe Mitzrayim. When Yosef is now dealing with all the Egyptian people and basically making deals with them because they're starving, there's no food. And he's selling, give me your animals, sell me this, sell me your body, sell me your land. He just keeps making deals with them so they can live, so they can eat. Eventually, they all became slaves to Paro, but it was, the intention was to help them. He kula me'inyin chesed shebein ish l'ra'ehu. These are all ways. We're looking for ways to get a guy to have parnasa, food. Trying to come up with different strategies is a huge chesed, obviously. Sorry, they're all kol echad. You have to see each person la'chayos anashim to try to give them money. La'chalkalam kifi kocho, try to get them jobs and things, kalkala, food, according to whatever your power is. Yosef obviously was an incredible place, but everybody has a little bit they can do. You know, a little bit that you can help a guy. You find that your friend needs is look short on cash, and you hear that there's some job cleaning the chatzer that pays 100 shekels for 5 minutes of work. Tell him, help the guy. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Unless you want the job. Nobody forced Yosef that he convinced the Egyptians that he to sell themselves, and that Yosef is purchasing all these people. He didn't, that was him trying to do chesed for them, a new way of looking at it. What pushed him to do this? It's not the need of chesed. That's what Yosef wanted. Kama parshios medavrim vav beinyan chesed. Ibahem nisparesh beit pitiras Yaakov. In these parshios, we see the death of Yaakov. Inyan kvuraso, we've seen this a number of times. The burial. Vehabechia, and the people crying. That's looking at the crying of over Yaakov as a chesed. Look what he's saying. The hespedo. And of course, the eulogy is always a chesed for the dead man and for the live mourners, that they get inspired by him and they feel that someone else is with them. Unisias mitato, lifting his the bed, Yasso and walking with him. She calls him in Chesed. This is the famous Rashi, that when you do chesed for a dead person and you don't anticipate any reward, you're not going to get any payback from this guy. He's dead. It's over. That's a chesed shel emes. Now I see here the Sifsei Chachamim on the Chumash, where Rashi writes this, says, and I think I mentioned this before, it doesn't have to be a dead man for you to do a chesed shel emes. It could be anybody who you know is not ever going to pay you back for one, many reasons, either because he doesn't know that you're doing the chesed. Let's say he doesn't know you're doing the chesed. But that can't pay you back because you did a hidden chesed. He's not going to get anything back from it. Or he's a poor man who can't help you. You know what I'm saying? It's not realistic, I'll be teva, that he's going to be able to help me. He's not doing any helping. I'm helping him. He's the problem. He's the person suffering, not me. That is also, says the Sifsei Chachamim, Chesed Shel Emes, because you don't, when you're doing it, you have no expectation that you're going to get anything. In fact, you have a negative expectation that you're going to get anything. You know nothing coming back from you. That's Chesed Shel Emes. Then he continues now. Where am I up to? I lost my space. Yeah, Shemos, Parshas Shemos. He goes to now the next Chumash. He just finished Brachos. Now he goes to Shemos. Parsha Rishona, Batirena, Am Yaladot, Batichayena, Sayaladim, the midwives, Shifra and Pua, who went, and despite the fact that Paro told them, you better kill all the babies, you better kill the babies that are born, all the Jewish babies, Ra'ua chesed sha'asui ma'hem, look at the chesed that they did. Ki halo, aya v'yecholtam matzei sidei shamayim. They could have been yotzei shamayim. Yotzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment on them. And bidei amalchus. And they could have satisfied Paro. Ha'ba'ayinu lifrosh milios od mialdos. They could have just retired. We're not doing it. And then they're not killing anybody. And they're not listening to Paro and killing. And they're also, I can't blame them. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to go against Paro. He's going to kill me. So I quit. I'll shave al tase. They would have had no din in Shemayim, says the Chafetz Chaim. Ah, so why did they do it? Shehayu Yireos, they were afraid. Pen acheros, kishetiyena miyaldos. They're going to have a general, they're going to retire. New midwives are going to take over. New midwives. And they're going to listen to Paro. And they're going to listen to Paro. And because they're petrified of Paro, a regular midwife. Okay, he tries to endorse Israel. They did the chesed to the girls of Israel. They put themselves in danger. Because they said, who else is going to do it? That the next group of trainees, the trainee midwives and the MADA program, whatever they are, Lamas, whatever they are, the doulas, are not going to be able to stand up to Paro. They're going to kill the babies. So we've got to do it. Below all Elishem, Mespikos, Maimu, Mazalai, Elados, Anios, they also give them extra frills. They gave them a little water, a little. Washed off the babies, cuckoo, whatever they did, Shifra would sing to them. They did all these extra things that Rashi brings up that were totally unnecessary. Totally. They just had to save the life and run. Save the baby and get out of there. And they're hanging around getting water and this. Why? Chesed. Then the same Parsha in Shlishi, Vayetze El Echa, Vayar Besiblosa. This is Moshe Rabbeinu when he became a grown man and he left the palace of Paro and went out. Vayetze el Achav, he went out of the house and saw everybody as slaves. Vayar b'siblosam, he saw their suffering. Hainu, shenatan libo liros meitzar, lios meitzar v'doag aleihem, kaperis Rashi. So this, everybody's heard me talk about this mita, maybe not everybody, but almost everybody. This is the concept of Noseb Olam Chavero, and this is the source right here, one of the sources where Yisrael Salanter brings, bearing the burden with your friend. Because the question is, how did Rashi know, the Gur Arye asks on this pasuk, how did Rashi know when it says, Vayetze Elechav, Moshe Rabbeinu went out to his brethren, Vayar, and he saw their suffering. How did Rashi know to explain that it was he put his heart and his mind to feel their pain? How did he know that that's what was the pshat? It says, Vayar v'sidlosa, he saw them suffering. So the Gur Arye says, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think I've said it at almost every single guy's wedding in this yeshiva, this Bar Torah, so I remember it. Gur Arye says, what do you mean? He's a grown man, Moshe Rabbeinu. An old man. What do you mean he went outside and saw his brother? What did he do yesterday? He was a hermit. He was in bidud, in quarantine his whole life, that he never left the palace and saw all the Jews as slaves? What do you mean by Yar B'Siblosa? It can't be that all of a sudden, what, I think he was 75 or something. What if that's, how old was he? Anybody know? He was a grown man, 75 or something, 80. He never saw them before. So from that pasuk says the Gur Arye, you have to read it like this, where does it say this, but he saw their suffering. This time he saw it, he felt it. He saw it and he placed it, Rashi says, on his heart and on his mind to worry about them, to feel their tsar of the slavery. And this is, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes, is the number one midah. I did not know that this is in the category of chesed, but he's putting it in chesed. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes, it's bigger than v'nahavta v'ra'acha kamocha, feeling their pain, feeling their tsar. And the question is, what is this? We can digress. Why not? Let's digress. We'll do it on this point. So he says here, I'll just finish the sentence and then I'll explain. V'zeu l'midas ha-chesed. This is the midah of chesed. Sh'tzarech adam l'hizbone v'tza'arat chavero. You have to meditate on the suffering of your friend. Ulay yuchol hoshiu b'davar ma. Maybe you're able to save him in some way. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says a little bit differently. A little differently than the Chafetz Chaim, but maybe we can make shalom and try. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writes that this midah of Noseb Olam is what made Moshe Rabbeinu the leader. This was it. This is why he was chosen. This was his first step to becoming the leader of Klal Yisrael. So anybody who has any ideas of being a leader, this is what you should be thinking about, because this is how you get it. So if you want to be a leader, you got to do this to get that leadership position. This is where David HaMelech also, he quotes many places, all of the leaders, all the avos, they were all shepherds. Shepherds. Why is a shepherd something that makes you a leader? Why? Says the Rizal Salakha. He says, because, he quotes a medrash, I believe, on David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. One time one of the sheeps ran away from Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert. And he ran around for 3 days looking for the sheep and picked it up and said, you must be hungry, sheep. Moshe Rabbeinu to the sheep, you must be hungry. And he carried the sheep back to the flock, as opposed to what I would do. I don't like animals, but I would have kicked the sheep and said, dumb sheep, been running around for 3 days looking for you. Chutzpah. He said Moshe Rabbeinu felt bad for this sheep. The Medrash says, you feel so bad about an animal, you're the guy who's going to lead my people. That's the Medrash. Same thing with David HaMelech. He had a system when he was a shepherd. He used to send out the different age groups of sheep at different times. He would send out the old guys in the beginning because they could only eat the top of the grass, the old sheep. They can't, their teeth are no good. They lost their teeth. And therefore, they have to only eat the top of the grass. And he would hold back the other guys, the other sheep. Then he would send out the middle-aged sheep to eat the middle of the grass. And it's a little harder, but they got some teeth. And then he would send the baby sheep, the bukharim, to eat the end, the stubs on the bottom, because they're the hardest, but they've got good teeth, so they can do it. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, wow, you're so sensitive to the needs of every one of these sheep. You're my king. So too over here, we saw Solomon says, this is where he did it the first time. He went out and saw the suffering of his friends, of his brothers. He's in the palace. He's living with Paro, living the good life in Cape Town. Everything is very good, and he's thinking about the Jews that are suffering around him. And before that day, it didn't penetrate. He saw them, but he didn't see them. He saw them every day, but now he saw them. That's why Rashi says it now. Maybe while we're already on the topic, I remember Rav Zahavi and I were learning this many, many years ago, because it's the first six articles of Cecil's book, Chochma Musar. The first six articles are about this mita of Nosef HaOled Chaver, feeling his pain and caring about him and sharing it. And he says it's different because it encompasses three different aspects, Nosef HaOled. Bearing the burden of your friend could be a friend has to move his apartment or schlep all the boxes of the books back to the door, and you say, you know what, I'm going to help you physically with my body, the gufo. That's a way to help the guy physically. He has a burden, he has difficulties, help him physically. Another one, the second category of this chesed, is financial, not your body. The guy needs help, write a check, or cash, even better, give him the money. That's another way to bear the burden with your friend. He's stressed out about everything. He's stressed. He got no money. You don't? I got money. Take it. That's begufo, bemamono. The third one, which the Tiferes Yisrael said, what separates this from the other chesed, is what the Chafetz Chaim is talking about. Bearing the burden with him mentally, getting into his head and thinking about what he's going through, feeling it. And just not necessarily helping him. You're not helping him. You're just sitting there and imagining what he's going through. You're doing nothing. You're just emotionally listening, like a therapy session, if you will. Something like that, I would say. You're just listening to the guy and feeling his pain. You're not even telling him, what about we could do this, we could do this. But nothing. Just putting it on your heart. And mitzbonen, as the Chafetz Chaim writes, thinking about what this guy's going through. Rabbi Sol Salanter tells you how to do it. This is the Chafetz Chaim doesn't say it here. Rabbi Sol Salanter does tell you how. And it's scary, but it's not going to really be scary. It's only scary because it feels like it should be scary, and the mind doesn't want to do it. But if you do it, you realize it's like drugs. It's very exciting. Meaning to say, you see your friend. This is the example he gives. Rabbi Sol, Simcha Zisel. The friend, his wife died, and he's sitting shiva, and he's got little babies and everything, and the nightmare he's going through now. So you could go, obviously pay a shiva call. What can I do to help? Making meals, this, everything. But there's a whole other thing of sitting down before you go to the shiva house. If you could do it for 5 minutes, you're Olympic. You're an Olympic gold medalist if you could do this, what I'm about to say, for 5 minutes. You sit down 5 minutes and think about what would be if it was my wife who's dead and my kids now have to make sandwich and go through every single thing that would this guy's going through right now, and you make it personal. You abstract the situation, says the Chafetz Chaim, and apply it to yourself as if you are in his shoes. Now, people don't want to think about your wife dying, your family dying, this, bankruptcy. But if you think about all of the things that the nightmare you'd be going through right now, just getting through the day and think about what is life going to be, anxiety, stress, the loss, the fear. fear, the life is God, everything. Think about 5 minutes that it is my wife or my child who's in that pain. Just think, feel it, 5 minutes. Now, no one wants to do this. No one wants to think about these bad things, but I promise you she's not going to be dead because you thought about her being dead. And you thought about you having to get the hesped that this guy just gave. And you have to be dealing with the kfura and watching her go, think about it. Think about it. Feel what he's going through. Put it on your heart. Then walk into the ship house and sit with him. Your connection with this guy will be out of this world. Out of this world. It's out of this world. L'mal min ha-teva. What's going on when you do Nosef Ol Chaver? He said, if you don't have this mitzvah, you'll never learn Torah. You can learn Torah, he said, but you can never own the Torah. You can't make a kinyan on the Torah. You cannot own the Torah unless you're able to connect so deeply with another human. You'll never be able to connect so deeply with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the infinite Torah. You'll never be able to do it unless you can do it with another human. Then you'll be able to do it with the Torah also. So I remember at Zahavi, we were talking about this. I said, I don't understand. I remember we were sitting in the back room, which is now the kitchen. I said, why? Why do I have to feel the guy's pain? Let me just help him. Write a check. What's going to be the benefit for me sitting and doing this whole thing? Why? I kept saying that they couldn't handle it. 2 weeks we were on this point. And then the famous story everybody knows, but I'll tell it again for those people who haven't heard it. So we have to do Chazar. Everybody knows that this was one of the big things for me. I went home for lunch after learning with Rav Zahavi, and we had just learned this piece, and we lived in another apartment in the Rova, and I was sitting there having lunch, and my son, Shlomo, everybody knows who he is. He's over 20, 25 now, and he's his birthday coming up now. He came home, he was maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. Little boy came back, he was in Zilberman's, and he looked very upset. And I said, Shlomo, what's bothering you? What's going on? And he didn't want to answer me, shot his shoulder up. I'm not talking. Fine. The new, what's bothering you? So he said that he had just gotten a new, brand new soccer ball, and he so excited to play with it at recess, this ball. And the big bullies in the Zilbermans, I guess he was in third grade or whatever, something like that, second grade. And the kid, big kids of the bullies in the class, now you should see him. Nobody's bullying him anymore. Back then he was a skinny twig. Little kid, the big bullies beat him up, took away the soccer ball, and not only did they take it away from him and not let him play, but they divided up the teams of the whole class to play soccer, and he had to stand on the side and watch while they were using his soccer ball. And he's telling me this story. And I remember as if it was yesterday, probably because I told the story 5,000 times also, it helps. But the first thing I wanted to do was, let's go get that soccer ball. I know where those little monkeys are over there in the square. We'll go get them and get you back your ball. That was the first thing I wanted to do, just to make the little boy who was very sad, make him smile. That's all I wanted to do. Go get that ball. We'll be back in 5 minutes. I can eat my lunch. And I had to literally, at this Mishnah, this concept of Nosef Olam Chavero popped into my head at that moment. And I held, bit my tongue to try to make him feel better. Because that's what you want to do when someone you care about is suffering. You want to make them feel better. But this Mishnah says, just feel their pain. Think about what they're going through. So I started to think about when I was a little boy. And I tried to imagine what he's going through. All of a sudden, I literally had a flashback of 30 years earlier, 30 or something like that, when I was in second grade and we had baseball cards, and I remember that the bullies came to the, we had baseball cards in America, not soccer cards. The guy grabbed my baseball cards and stole them and took them away from me, and I felt horrible. I remember the feeling of being in the backyard at the school when I was a little boy. And I'm staring at Shlomo, and I said, I just looked at him, and I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling what his embarrassment and his pain and being violated, that they took away a thing that you like and didn't let you. And I just looked at him, and I said, Shlomo, it hurts bad, really bad. That's all I said. And all of a sudden, he started crying, Abba, Abba. And he flung his arms around my neck, crying, Abba, Abba. And my whole neck was full of tears. He was crying like a baby. He was a baby. And I looked up and I said, gosh, I could have thrown this incredible moment away if I just opened up my mouth and said, let's get the ball or take an ice cream or something. I could have missed this. It could have just disappeared in 1 second. Had I not had the koach to be noseh b'ol. And then I realized the power of this Mishnah. And I said to myself, this could be, as he's yelling, Abba, this could be the first time in my life that I really is Abba today. I remember that moment. And I said, this Mishnah, noseh b'ol chaver, is no joke. Father and son. We're close, we're biologically, everything, we're close. And he takes us and makes us supercharged close, like on steroids close. It's an incredible, powerful meat that they have. So the Chafetz Chaim is now, but it takes a lot of courage to do this. It's much easier to go buy the kid a soccer ball. Give him those dumb kids, we'll get those punks. That's much easier to do, much. But Chazal is teaching us here something that is way beyond feeling it in the good times and the bad times, both ways. Here he's specifically talking about when they're suffering. It's an incredible thing. And so the Chafetz Chaim writes here that you do this avoda, but if you look b'dayik in his words, he says, maybe you'll be able, when you think about it, what he's going through, really, really think about it, you may be able to help him. You may come up with some angle to help him. And that's for sure true. I'm not arguing. The more you're in the sugya and you feel what he's going through and you're imagining, you're much better at getting out of the problem. I accept. But even if you don't find the solution to the problem, that is the solution. That is the chesed you're doing for the guy. Even if now you don't have another angle how to get out of it. But this is the chesed, just being with him and connecting to him. There's no bigger chesed than that. Says Rabbi Sol Salanter. He's not doing it that extreme. But I think that this is something, and as I said all many times, this will never happen naturally. Never. You will never all of a sudden naturally become a person who starts doing this mitzvah habero. It is an avoda. It is a hard avoda. Hard. You have to really work hard to get there. You start off with people that are farther away. They're the easiest. And you start building and getting more intense. And you think it's going to debilitate you. It's good if I feel everybody's pain, Rabbi, I'm going to die too. Okay, maybe. Maybe you're not the person for this job with this person, this situation. There are definitely exceptions to this rule. But it's not true. The more you're noseh b'ol, the more you are alive, not dead. The more you come alive, the more you connect to the people around you, the way you can. It just so happens you'll also become the leader of the Jewish people, according to Rabbi Sol Salanter. Have a good day.